kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today we can look at and discuss, and we're calling our teaching today, Are You Caught Up with the Things of God? Are you caught up with the things of God? We know that there are many things in the world that try to distract us and to cause us to look away and put our energies and resources into other things. But at the end of the day, the question is, am I caught up with the things of God? Am I caught up in His presence? What He's saying, what He's doing, where He's going. The Christian life, being filled with the power and presence of God, should be caught in God's presence 24/7. And of course, the powers of darkness know that we are part of the light of God, and we are those lights that are set in this world of darkness. And of course, He is all the while trying to suppress that light that is in us. He's trying to hinder us, deceive us in many ways that He does. But there are things that we have to be on our guard with regard to the enemy and how he tries to work, in which to stop us being caught up in the things of God, in the presence of God. In other words, as the apostle said, are we walking in the spirit or in the flesh? I want us to look at Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, in which I think this describes quite clearly what we're talking about today. Romans 13 and verses 11 to 14, which says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts." Quite a lot that the apostle places here. He says it's high time to awake out of sleep, or to awake out of a slumber. Just an attitude of, well, God has got it all under control. I have been saved by grace and mercy, and I'm on my way to glory. That actually is the wrong attitude and motive for the Christian. That is, of course, true. But we don't make that mistake that the children of Israel made, that they were chosen of God out of all nations, so they couldn't go wrong. And therefore, what is the problem? What is the problem? Chill out. And how often we've heard that said. But the apostle doesn't stop there, for he says, "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." So we obviously believed in our salvation, That was revealed to us when we became a new creation, but when time goes on and months and years pass, we can start to take things for granted. And he says, the times are very near. It is showing us that the coming of the Lord is a lot nearer than we believe. And of course, those who are walking with God, that will jilt you. That will cause you to think, well, my goodness me, you know, this is all coming to pass. We've heard it all these years and being prepared, but we're actually finding that it's nearer than we thought. And he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, those things that fog, that just cause us not to see as clearly as we used to. And he says, think about the armor. Think about the armor of God, the armor of light. Always note that it's about light, because the enemy wants to bring us into darkness. Sadly, a lot of the Christian church is in partial darkness, because it doesn't want to wake up. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. In other words, how the world lives. We need to be separate from it, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. In other words, we put on Christ and we have to be hard against the things of the flesh. And only the cross can deal with the flesh, the things of the lusts of the flesh. This is why the apostle said, I die daily. And we too, as we take up our cross, are to die daily and make no provision for the flesh. What is the flesh? It's me, the self-life, what I want to do in the flesh. And of course we are in the flesh, obviously, but we have to be on our guard against this flesh. And what does the flesh represent? It presents pride, that independent spirit. Jesus very often referred, when he was in ministry, that I'm about my Father's business. He had no time to waste. He was caught up with the things of God because he said, I'm about my Father's business. And if we're caught up with the things of God, then we are too are going to be about our Father's business. And we haven't much time for the things of this world. In other words, we're not putting the things of the world first, but being caught up with the things of God, I am about my Father's business. And that is what a Christian should be. A sojourner that is simply passing through this world. You know, God knows that we have little strength. He knows that we go through our battles, our trials. He knows that we battle unbelief. There are times when we question the promises of God. But shouldn't that cause us to get excited about God and excited about the times that we live in? We know this, of course, very clearly in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. We, of course, know this well, but let's again just remind ourselves in light of what we're talking about. Are you caught up with the things of God? That is what we're discussing today. What does it say in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8? I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. So, of course, we know that that open door is the door into the deeper life. Jesus said, I am the door. I am that open door. And God sets that open door into the kingdom of God, in the house of God, in the body of Christ. It's our message that we preach and teach. We teach and preach about the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. And he says, and no one can shut this door. In other words, you cannot muzzle the gospel of God. The powers of darkness try to stop the preaching of the word of God. The powers of darkness try to destroy the revelation of God's word. But he says it cannot be, for I have set in heaven an open door. And thank God, in God's mercy and grace, that door still remains open. God kept the door open to the Ark of the Covenant when Noah warned the people for 120 years that the flood was coming. God kept that door open. But finally, one day, that door will shut. And many will come crying and knocking, open up, open up. But it will be too late. That is why we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he says, he goes on, and I know your works, I see that I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have little strength. That is why God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. God knows you have little strength. That is one of the reasons why he called you from the foundation of the world. Because you have little strength. God receives and saves what the world rejects. The world rejects us because it sees us weak and ineffectual. But God says, that is exactly what I want, because I will make my strength, my power in your life perfect. And that is why in our weakness we can be caught up with the things of God. And that's why we can get excited about the Lord. I'm excited about God today because in my weakness he makes me strong. I very often, when I wake in the morning, sometimes we don't always feel as well as we could, or we feel weak, or we're battling a bug, or many, many things the enemy tries to oppress us with. But I find, I say, thank God, in my weakness I am made strong. Because it's not about me. It is about Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is the good news of the gospel. And that is what the apostle was really fundamentally saying there in Romans 13, 11 to 14 that we were talking about. You see, some of us have lost our interest. We've become sleepy. We've allowed this weakness in which to convince us that that's all we are. You're weak, you're ineffectual. What use are you? What use are you in the house of God? What ministry do you have? And we listen to the powers of darkness, don't we? What does it say in Matthew 24? Where Jesus speaks of being watchful in these last days. He has something to say about this in Matthew 24 and verse 42. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So even in our weakness, he calls us to watch, to keep awake. And the only way you can keep awake is when you are caught up with the things of God. And how God works in our life, both individually and corporately, is not always through great thunderstorms and earthquakes. Very often it's through the little things. Those little blessings that just, you know, touch you. When you've lost your keys to the house and you can't find them, and suddenly the Lord takes you to a place where you left them, or you dropped them somewhere outside. You know that's the Lord done that, and you can be just so blessed by those little things. That's what I mean by being caught up with the things of God. And Jesus says here that we're to be watchful. That doesn't take a lot of strength. It doesn't take a lot of strength to be watchful, even though you may feel weak or you may be going through a real trial. You can still, in whatever situation, or if you find yourself in prison, you can still be watchful. Because God has baptized us, filled us with the power of his Spirit, and part of that is to make us watchful. We know, don't we, that the disciples, they fell asleep. When Jesus asked them to keep awake, that was the night of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wanted them to be with him in prayer, to keep awake, but they couldn't. They fell asleep. You know the story. He came back three times, and on the third time he said, "You rest, just sleep." You see, sometimes we find that where we're looking for people or looking for support, they can fall asleep on us spiritually. But God always has a bigger picture, always a bigger plan, because Jesus learned that his Father had not fallen asleep. And that is the point. That had to be the way Jesus had to go. The Lord was with him. The Lord was teaching even his son, you don't need to depend on them. Yes, it's important. They should have been awake with you. They should have been in prayer with you. But he was revealing, I am with you. I will be with you on that cross. I will see it right the way through. That was Jesus' experience. That's the way he had to go. And many, many times you'll find it is simply you and God. Because there are times when human nature can actually get in the way from you experiencing what God is saying and what he's doing with you. These are the things of being caught up with the things of God, you see. You see, Jesus wants us awake in these times and in prayer. And there's nothing like prayer, prayer meetings, your prayer time that keeps you spiritually awake. Those who are discerning in these last days, who are listening to what God is saying, who are discerning the things that are going on in the world and in politics, are the ones who have prayer life. Because prayer is causing them to be watchful, to hear what our Father is saying. What does it say in the book of Proverbs? Let's turn to Proverbs 24 and verses 30 to 34. Proverbs 24, verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well, and looked on it, and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Now, that is very descriptive of the last days, and sadly, what is going on a lot in Christendom. In other words, it will pass. It will chill out. Don't get upset and so forth. Not that we are. But what was not being seen here was poverty was coming. And of course, the description is of looking after the property. They couldn't care less, and so it fell into decline. And he says that your poverty comes as a prowler and your need like an armed man. You see, the deeper life in the teaching, brethren, is all about God's spiritual army. And we are being trained. We're being trained to be watchful, to keep awake, to hear what the Spirit is saying. Not all are doing this. Some are being distracted by other things, and the enemy knows he will look for anything, anywhere to try and get in to bring us away from being caught up with the things of God. You know, there's a part of me that is also very excited what is happening, is excited with what's happening in the world and the rapid falling away. There is, of course, a sadness because many are rejecting Christ, but then on the other side of it, there is also that excitement that we are now getting so near to the coming of the Lord, to the next great event of the rapture. And I'm excited because God is working. He's working with me and keeping me awake, just like that wise virgin, so that I will be ready when he comes. I will hear and I will not be shocked because he came to me like a thief in the night. For some, that is how he's going to come. For others who are being caught up with the things of God, it will not be. I have always believed in the power of the baptism of the Spirit. And I have always expected the power of that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to do that work in my life. There should be that expectancy because we are dealing with Almighty God. We are dealing with our Heavenly Father who has all power, who holds all together by the word of his mouth. Do you know that you are a royal priesthood? You are a member of this royal family. Now everyone of course looks today at royalty. We have our own royalty and those who are part of the royal family and so on. And they're always revered and looked with great honour and respect and so forth. Well, how much more with us that you are part of God's royal family. You are part of his courtier. You are destined for the throne. We are called a royal priesthood, kings and queens. We are part of the courtier. We are part of the presence of God. We are accepted into the royal throne room with the scepter that is set out to us. I think we forget this, brothers and sisters, and this is why we should be caught up with the things of God. And we should walk as that royalty, and believe as that royalty, and act as that royalty. And yet in our flesh, we are called to serve. And that is our training for the future. And yet we listen to the powers of darkness that tries to rob us and keep us in spiritual poverty, impoverished. And a lot of that can be our own fault, because we're still so caught up with the things and the affairs of the world. And many times our families can be the worst. Our families could rob us of our inheritance that we have in Christ. I'm reminded of the story of Samson. Turn with me to the book of Judges, Judges 16. And let's look at verse 19. Judges, and we know the story of where he's living with Delilah, and she keeps nagging him, "Where do you get your power from?" And we come up to here, and the Philistines, they keep asking her, find out where he's getting his power from. She keeps nagging him. And here it comes in verse 19, and look what happens. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. He finally has told her where his power lies. Foolish. He's given in. Why is he given in? Because he's gone into the world. He's out of God's will. He's with the wrong woman. Then she began to torment him, and as his strength left him, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. What had happened here? Samson had lost power with God. He didn't even know that he had lost power, even though his 7 locks were cut off. He still thought he could go out and overpower the Philistines, but it wasn't until he put that in action that he realized that the Lord had departed from him. In other words, he was no longer caught up with the things of God. Why? Because the world, the lust of the world, had become strong. And he had preferred to be in the world. He was out of the will of God. And it is so easy, brothers and sisters, to get out of the will of God. And then God is no longer with you. You're no longer excited about the Lord. You no longer talk about him in that heart and spirit and attitude that you once did. In other words, you're losing your first love. You're no longer caught up with the things of God. How about the parable of the 10 virgins? That we know so well. 5 wise, 5 foolish. The foolish were not caught up with the things of God that they once were. What is the promise to those who overcome? Let's turn back to the book of Revelation again. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So those that overcome then, look what he's promised. He's saying, I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. That's a very important place in the temple of God. It holds the structure. It holds the roof. And he says, he shall go no more out. In other words, that's where you're going to remain. You're going to remain in my temple, in my presence. You have a special relationship with me. And not only that, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. In other words, this is your residence. This is your home. You belong to me. The new Jerusalem, which is going to come out down from heaven. The new earth, the new heavens, in other words. And I'll write on him my new name. That speaks of intimacy. That speaks of something that's between you and God that others won't know, even in glory. Why? Because you chose to be caught up with the things of God. And some want that, and some are not interested. What does Isaiah have to say? Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 verses 1 to 2. Isaiah 35 verses 1 to 2, which speaks of the future glory of Zion. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. There we are. That speaks of being caught up with God in his presence and so on. That is the future that awaits us. But as I bring this to a conclusion, there is a warning. And God always warns those whom he loves. He chastens those whom he loves. Because if he doesn't do this, then we're illegitimate. And we don't have a father. But what does he say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 to 6? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 6. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So in other words, they have been taught this. They have had the teaching. They know that they are to be awake, to be alert, because the coming of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And he goes on, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Well, we've had comparative peace and safety for many years after World War II. It's been pretty good years. Times of prosperity for many, and so on. But all of that is beginning to go. And we know that. And he says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. In other words, they're being so caught up in their own things, doing their own things, all their blessings and so on, then suddenly it all starts to come to an end. And that is what will happen in the last days. That is what will happen to all the very rich and the very wealthy and the elite. It will come to an end. They will lose everything. They will lose their wealth, their power, their control. Revelation clearly shows us this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Well, there's the apostle's confession, belief in his preaching and teaching, and he's encouraging, but also warning the saints here in Thessalonica. Why is he writing this in such a way? Because they're asking questions. Where's the coming of the Lord? A lot of the brethren, the saints now, are in Christ. They're gone. There's a few of us left. What's happening? He's encouraging them in their weakness. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Hallelujah to that. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So the apostles, very aware that there are others, there are other churches, Christians, who've fallen asleep. What does he mean by that? They've gone back into the world. They're no longer caught up with the things of God. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it goes on. So there, in many ways, is an encouragement, but also a warning. That is a final warning that he's giving here to the churches. Fight it. If we feel ourselves going sleepy, not on fire for the Lord as we used to be, sometimes you've got to fight it. Overcome it. Don't accept it. Don't accept the second best. Always the very best of that God gives. And what can be better than God giving his life, his presence, his love to us? Why, you cannot find anything greater than that. Do not take a substitute. Do not take second best. Always expect and believe God's love, God's presence, God's power. In other words, I'm caught up with him and him alone, and I do not have any time for anything else. That's what our life should be with God. And yet we find that we have more time for the world and the things of the world than we do for the things of God. It is time to wake. It is not a time to start sleeping like those foolish virgins. Allow the power of the Spirit to keep you awake, to keep you alive in Christ, to keep you caught up with the things of God. Father, we thank you. As you've said so often, it's not by might, not by power. It is by your Spirit, says the Lord. And it is by the Spirit of God that you keep us awake, watchful, in prayer, discerning, hearing what you are saying. Lord, you know that we have little strength. You know at times that we feel we cannot go that extra mile. But we have all learnt over the years that it is in that weakness we are made strong. Help us, Father, to achieve what you've asked of us today, and that is to be caught up with the things of God and not the things of the world. Lord, whatever it takes to achieve this for your glory, Father, we give permission for you to do this in and through us. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.